This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello, and welcome to LNG Talks. Our topic today, systematic investment solutions. Now, under the bonnet, these can be highly complex, but they all share the fundamental characteristic of using rules-based models to make portfolio decisions rather than human discretion. And the reasons why they're increasingly important today are equally straightforward. The clients are seeking more consistent outcomes delivered at a lower cost and with increased transparency. My name's Luka Lukic, a proposal product specialist here at LNG, and today I'm talking to three key members of LNG's systematic solutions capability. I want to find out what brought them to this corner of the investment world, the work they're most excited about, and how systematic solutions might evolve in the years ahead. Welcome to the podcast, Elena Cardella, Head of Investment Specialists, Boyang Liu, Head of Systematic Solutions, and Raj Shah, Senior Quant and Factor Strategist. Elena, I'd like to start by asking about your current role and the two decades of investment experience you've had up till now.
Hi, Luca. Thank you for having me. So I'm the head of investment specialist. Investment specialists, they sit in between investment and sales and clients. So we are a little bit the conduit between the investment part of the firm, like our colleagues here, and the portfolio managers and our distribution partners. And our mission is to try to articulate a complex concept in an easy way in order to stay close to our clients and as well understand their needs so that we can circle back to the firm and try to find a solution to navigate the current market environment. And in the past, oh my God, now I'm going to sound terribly old. For the past 20 years, I've been very fortunate. I've been working for primary investment management. And I think that the characteristic of the places where I worked before, they were predominantly the client centricity and the adaptability. The world is changing and we have to change with it. And what actually brought me to LNG is the possibility to bring to LNG these features together with my colleagues. Effectively, index and ETF, they are becoming more and more complex. They're not the oldest instrument in the financial market. But as the time goes by, they're becoming more complex. And of course, it is our mission to try and articulate those nuances to clients and to the firm.
Thank you very much. Now, turning to today's investment landscape, geopolitics and market volatility are key factors in the world today. How do you see them as impacting investors and what does that mean for them?
Yeah, so the narrative has been shifting quite a bit. If we would have had this conversation only a few weeks back, I would have given a completely different response. But now inflation is back on the table, which is surprising because it was in the downtrend not long ago. The second aspect is the growth outlook is getting more uncertain. And the third thing, which last but not least, is the narrative of central banks. So not long ago, we were talking about easing, and now we are completely in a different scenario. So as a consequence, the volatility in market has been now constant. It's something that we have to deal with on a daily basis, and our clients, they're trying to address. And clients, they're not just looking anymore just at the upside market capture, but they're trying to build resilience. So what is more important is to find a solution that is longer standing, that can cut through the noise, navigate the volatility, and also identify long-term trends that they can actually exploit in their portfolios.
Okay, thank you. And so as you say, short-term, the news seems to change every week. But if we try to focus on the long-term view and the big mega trends we're seeing in the markets today, we're seeing the main topics of, let's say, AI, deglobalization, interestingly, now we're in this new world that we're in, and demographic change. Which of these trends, or indeed any others, do you think are the biggest factor that will impact investors going forward?
So I would resist from giving a priority to any of those three. And actually, this gives me a little bit the opportunity to tell you how do we design ETFs at LNG. We start from a very rigorous investment process. And we identified three mega trends or mega forces that are active in today's life and in today's markets. So one is, of course, technology and AI. The other one is energy and resources. And the other one is demographics, a little bit like what you just mentioned. Now, for us, in order to design an ETF should satisfy at least two of those three mega trends in order to make it something that is interesting and longstanding for clients. And for example, if you think about AI, very interesting topic, but it becomes even more interesting and more relevant when you pair it up with demographics. And the same, for example, when you think about resources and you pair it up with demographics. So from the blend of two out of the three, we actually believe that we can create a product that is actually interesting for our clients, and that is, it can be relevant in a portfolio like the one that we just mentioned, that is supposed to navigate volatility and it needs to be persistent over time. Another aspect of our process is that we design indices in-house, and my colleagues here, they can tell you more in a second, but the engineering of the indexes is something that we want to maintain. And normally we also try to team up with some specialists that can give us a high granularity of data and that can help us identifying this trend and analyze this trend in order to maintain the value proposition of our thematics ETFs pertinent and relevant for a long period of time. So the result from the internal design and the active design, because it's true that ETFs are passive instruments, but the design of the index is far away from passive at LNG. It's actually very, very active. So with that in mind, we can actually create something that can create value throughout the value chain. It can actually satisfy the needs of our clients for a prolonged period of time. And it is important to understand the structural changes in those megatrends in order to remain relevant in the market.
Thank you. A very comprehensive response. I'll give you a bit of a break now. I'd like to turn to Boeing and bring you into the conversation now. So you joined LNG as the head of systematic solutions. Could you tell us a bit about your career up to this point and what attracted you to LNG?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I will start off by saying that my journey with LNG didn't start just 6 months ago. It started all the way back in 2019, I think, when I was at JP Morgan. Okay. And LNG was a client of mine back then. And we were very honored back then to be selected by LNG as a partner to launch the fixed income ETF franchise. So I think we started the engagement back in 2019, and the first product came out in 2020. And now our franchise has about 9 fixed income ETFs and $3 billion of assets out of our $25 billion range. So to this day, I'm very proud of my involvement on both sides. So of course, as you can imagine, when the opportunity came to join LNG, I was very excited. So perhaps let me rewind a little bit and then start from the early careers. So I started with Barclays and then moved on to JP Morgan. I spent about 9 years between these two banks, both in the fixed income index research capacity. And yeah, it was a great time because as you can imagine, these two are world-class global institutes that has fantastic talent, really good kind of structured program to invest in people. So some great place to be in sort of the early careers. And being a fixed income index analyst means that you had a great exposure and breadth to all sorts of asset classes within fixed income. As you can imagine, going from rates to corporate, you know, credit, securitized product, we had exposure to all sorts of client type, you know, ranging from asset owner, asset managers, you know, to hedge fund, family offices, et cetera. And then across all major geographies, you know, we had to cover, you know, US debt, Euro debt, Asia debt. So that was a fantastic, I would say, run with both banks. Learned a lot from those. And then I sort of took a different direction of my career and I joined SquarePoint back in 2021. And then I joined them as a equity and credit index rebalanced quant researcher. What it means is that...
I thought Raj had a long job title.
Yeah, well, no, here I am. We like to do, you know, keep it complex in the team. So what it means is that I would look at major equity and credit indices and try to look at index events, index rebalances, and try to see whether there's any kind of arbitrage opportunity or just alpha opportunity there, right? So I went from a very broad role where you're trying to design products that cover very broad market, albeit different investment objective, to a very focused role, right? My role back at SquarePoint was, you know, delivering this alpha research in the space. And what I appreciate the most from that experience was the discipline that I saw, not just in my area, but also across the whole firm, right? I think SquarePoint started off as a quant hedge fund. So discipline was really at the center of everything they do. And it just, it didn't just start in the research and the trading aspect. It went all the way back to kind of data ingestion. It was such rigor applied to every data set that was onboarded into the building, to the research part, as you can imagine, the crucial process into a successful investment strategy, to the implementation. And also after the implementation, there's documentation, there's postmortem. Is every step of the way, there is a discipline and rigor. And I take that with me today to L&G. What L&G excites me the most is the scale that we operate here. For the benefit of the listener, we on the index and ETF team manage close to $600 billion in terms of assets, right? We have a very successful ETF franchise that is $25 billion, and that spans across equity, fixed income, commodity, liquid alternative, right? So the scale of the platform is enormous. And I'm very excited to take, you know, that very disciplined investment approach and apply it here. And I truly believe that we can add value to our clients by repeating that process in different asset classes to deliver whatever objective they're looking for.
Okay. And so building on that, you've obviously described quite a broad and varied background. How have you brought that all together into your own investment philosophy? And how do you want to apply that here at L&G into systematic investment solutions, particularly in the space of index and ETFs?
Great. No, great question, because we think about it a lot, right? Especially the word systematic. You go out to the street and you say, oh, we're systematic solutions. And what you get back is very varied. I think the term is used very liberally across the board, right? Some people use it to mean very rules-based, very passive investment because they heard the word systematic. They think, oh, you're just doing a very repeatable, simple process. Other people hear it and then just automatically think, you know, I'll constrain alpha because it's akin to like a quant style of investment, right? But the truth is that we operate somewhere in between, right? We operate somewhere between the very traditional broad-based kind of market cap benchmark to, you know, the active strategy. We hope to operate in this middle ground where we would have always starting with an investment thesis, right? Always starting with a very clear objective of what we're trying to do, and then try to deliver through a repeatable, scalable, and transparent kind of rules-based approach to either harvest that thesis or, you know, if your research shows that, you know, it doesn't exist or we couldn't replicate the results we've seen in a paper, to have, you know, the bravery to walk away from it. I think that is very, very important.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. It really isn't. It's a rigor that comes with that. And a lot of the times, and I think Raj and I talk about it all the time, you read a paper and you think, oh, this is great. There's a great signal. And then when you try to replicate it with your own data set or, you know, given your own investment constraint, you don't see the great results in the paper. And then what, right? It's like you have to do research with a thesis, not an agenda. I think that is very important.
It's very discipline as well and rigor.
Scientific method, isn't it? You have to assume that you want to prove yourself wrong almost, and then you kind of show, oh no, actually I can't prove myself wrong, maybe it is right.
Correct.
Fascinating. Yeah. So now that we're getting, I guess, into the meat of the subject, I think now it's time to bring Raj into the conversation. So as the senior quant and factor strategist and the most complicated job title here, could you walk us through your day-to-day role and what that looks like in practice?
All right. Thanks, Luca. Actually, I'm going to become the interviewer now. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
So,
put the script on me.
What do you call something that takes in a huge amount of information, looks for patterns, you give it a question, and it gives you an answer?
Wow. Okay.
It's been used quite a lot.
Well, like ChatGPT, something like that?
It's good, actually. Exactly. And strangely enough, I was talking about large language models. and that's just not a bad way to think about my role, because instead of producing text, I basically produce systematic investment strategies. Our clients come to us with their objectives. And what I'm there to do is, instead of producing text or some weird AI-generated images, I can then produce systematic investment strategy that is, you know, as Boyang said, rules-based, transparent, and repeatable. So now, in terms of, I'm going to talk about the similarities that, you know, my role has with large language models, and then some of the sort of where sort of the differences are. And I think it's a good analogy in this case. If you think about us and what we do in systematic solutions, if you think about LLM, it takes in a huge amount of information, it looks for patterns, and it basically, you put in some objectives or you give it a question, it'll give you an answer. So if you think about it, if you train an LLM on language, in our case, we're looking at training the models, or our LLM, with a language of markets. So prices, fundamentals, all of that alpha signals going into our engine. So that's the first bit. And then the important thing about it is that you wouldn't just let, when you go to ask questions to an LLM, you wouldn't just let it do whatever it wants. You'll have to give it a clear objective. You'll have to also give it a clear instructions and give it guardrails so it just doesn't go off and hallucinate and basically, you know, give you a lot of, might get deleted out, but BS in that sense. So let's go, let's do a practical example. Say a client came to me with an investment objective, right? And that said, okay, look, I want to get exposure to a market cap index, but I want some alpha, but I also want to get some sustainability criteria or ESG criteria integrated into the strategy. So if you think about analogy to an LLM, the prompt in this case is the client's objectives. Basically, it's telling me in this case, I want to outperform a market cap benchmark. The instructions, in this case, instruction set, would be the sustainability objectives. So like maybe they want to avoid something. So how is that reflected? You'd be putting that as part of the instruction set. And then you have guardrails. And in this case, guardrails for us are risk controls, right? You want to make sure that your tracking error is controlled. And then what comes out of it is something, at the end, is something which is rules-based, transparent, and something repeatable and explainable to the client. And that's what our clients value. You know, I talked about the similarities, but now if you think about where it breaks down, the analogy breaks down with an LLM is because one, the client is not, the LLM does not know the client. It cannot read the client across the table, right? And something where what we're seeing, which I'll probably, you know, touch upon later, is that AI and AI agents are being used in the market, but they have pretty much no real world knowledge. They have no real judgment. So in our case, it's more about, yes, you know, LLMs are, an analogy with LLM is good, but at the same time, my job and my role is to make sure that whatever we do in terms of making a sensible investment strategy, my job is basically, the LLM will give you an answer, but I have to make sure that I apply my judgment and make sure that the client is getting a fully investable, explainable, and transparent systematic investment strategy.
Okay, thank you. I like how you call it an LLM rather than AI. It shows the kind of the analytical aspect of it. Yes. Now, we've kind of viewed them in parallel. Now let's talk about combining them. So obviously, AI, I'm going to use the later term, everyone is talking about that all the time, particularly in financial markets. How are you integrating, or are you integrating, into your processes? And where does it fit between your role and the AI's role?
Super question. And so my background, I came from a quant shop before LNG. And the good thing about that, I mean, I'm quite excited and optimistic. What's happened over the last 10 years is that, you know, data has gone, like, we have so much data. But at the same time, computing power has gone up so much. Because not so long ago, basically, you needed specialist infrastructure just to run like these simple models. Mm. Right now, I can literally open my laptop, fire up my laptop, and you know, crunch like, you know, massive models just in my laptop. And so, as I said, I'm quite optimistic about AI. Within the team, we use it quite a lot in terms of coding, and that means that if I'm much quicker at coding, I'm much quicker at prototyping. I can basically prototype and then effectively, I can summarize my research more efficiently as well. But what it does is that it saves me from writing this boilerplate code, and it gets me time to ask the right questions about whether the investment strategy is doing the right thing, right? Does it work in the real world? Can I apply human judgment to it? You know, it looked great on a back test, but does it work, you know, in reality? So that's where we're seeing AI being integrated into our processes. But question is, would I give it more autonomy, right? Would I let it drive? Would I let it say basically from a co-pilot becoming a pilot? And every now and again, you get reminded that, you know, AI agents, or AI in this case, it tends to hallucinate, tends to do whatever it wants. And then it sounds so confident that you think it's the right answer, right? And, you know, in investment world, you'd end up losing a lot of money, right? So, if you know, I mean, I'll give you a funny example, right? There's a funny example of how, you know, AI agents are being applied to the marketplace and in different areas of the market. Now, Anthropic, who is the maker of Claude, the large language models, they did an experiment about basically giving an AI agent responsibility to run a shop. So, you know, employees of this company would come in and they can basically buy stuff. So, you know, it's tasked with running the shop. So it starts with like stocking up. So if things are going low, it'll be, you know, stock up stuff. If it's charged with pricing, so it can change pricing depending on demand, et cetera.
Surge pricing.
So you can do exactly, right? It can do like that, right? So if there's more demand, obviously, that you'd expect, if you run a business, you'd expect to raise the prices, right? You find that it started doing some really crazy things. Somebody asked it, can I buy tungsten cube, which is literally just a metal cube. So what happened? It set off a chain of buying a lot more of these things. Literally, it had stocked up on tungsten cubes. Yeah. Right. And that was the main driver of the loss as well. And then also it started behaving really erratically at one point. It at one point thought it was human. It said to one of the employees saying, hi, Connor, I'm going to be at the shop between 9 and 10:30 wearing a, I think it was a red tie and a blue blazer. Yeah. And I basically thought it was human. Even though it was told in its instructions that it's a digital agent. So even in the instructions, it was told that and still thought it was actually human. So if you think about it, this is a funny example, right? But if these things happen in the investment world, it's at the end of the day, if you think about explainability, how do you explain to a client, you know, if it's a black box, how did this agent started, you know, doing its own thing? And researchers couldn't even like literally find this out. They didn't know why it started behaving like, oh, I'm a human now. So it's not there yet. And even that's in the sense of explainability, being a black box. If I can't explain to my client why this strategy is the way it is, what it's holding in this portfolio, what's underweight, overweight, and what's driving returns, it's pointless, right? It's a time where you might just lose a lot of money if you left the keys to it. So I think, and to sum it up, like, it's fantastic at the moment, like for using it as a co-pilot. But I think you have the judgment layer. And as humans, I think the judgment layer is very important. And that's where I see the integration of AI.
So I think one of the messages I think everyone worries about these days is AI going to take my job? But I say from your perspective, then you would say that AI is a means almost of liberating people from taking, you know, the boring, mundane stuff out of it and focusing and kind of enhancing human endeavor rather than replacing it.
At this point in time, absolutely, right? Like if even like our, you know, the team that we work with, the analysts, et cetera, they can, you know, they can upskill so quickly because there's this is there. It's, you know, it's such a, I would say, a revolutionary technology about, you know, they can learn so much faster. They can, you know, they can go to the higher levels much quicker in terms of, you know, asking the right questions rather than just doing the sort of boilerplate, you know, work. Now you can go up to the next level much quicker and asking the, you know, literally critical thinking, critical questions, you know, does this thing work in the real world? And that's the next level that, you know, some, you know, the analysts can get it to a much quicker and much quicker sense. So yeah, I'm quite optimistic about it.
But I would say it doesn't take away the human oversight that we do to our analysts. I remember recently I wouldn't give a specific example, but I saw like a financial instrument didn't behave the way I expected to behave. And then I would admit point blank, I wasn't knowledgeable enough to do it. So then I asked AI, I was like, why did this happen? And AI gave me an answer. And then the more I read about it, it sounded very convincing. I was just like, I'm pretty sure this is not what happened because I couldn't understand it. If I couldn't understand it, you know, after having spent a reasonable amount of time in finance, then I start a question like, then is it really true? And then after you then go away and do the old school research, you realize it's completely untrue. There is that slight element of guardrail.
Triangulation, right? Yeah. Like the guardrails, making sure that you don't just believe one source.
Yeah. So it takes away and creates new jobs in terms of sense checking.
Yes.
Thank you. Elena, I'm going to turn to you to bring this all together for us. So investment strategy, design, and AI, how do these two combine into the future? And how is LNG's approach going to differentiate it in the solution space from its competitors?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Actually, margins in asset management are shrinking. That's a reality. Equally, clients are not yet ready to default to standard vanilla market cap indices. Because they're just built with a retrospective view. They don't tell you what is going to happen in the future. So these two forces, they created a gap in the industry for a product that is the sweet spot between active investing and systematic and passive. So, and this is where actually LNG fits. our products are nothing like a simple, passive, plain vanilla strategy. We heard about that from Boyan Garage. And at the same time, we know that the market is asking for solutions that are transparent, that are cost efficient, and they actually give you some bottom-up selection in a way, whether it's done in a systematic way rather than in a fundamental traditional view. So that's the space that LNG wants to take. We're not asking clients to choose between active and passive, but we're telling them and we're offering them like a third solution. And AI, we heard about AI a lot from Raj. AI is an enabler, is an extra leg to run our activity. But from the client perspective, it's also a way to reach out to more clients. Because, for example, now we're running a podcast, we are recording a podcast, but also AI is something that our marketing team is trying to use in order to tweak the language and reach out to our clients and speak the same language that they speak. So I see a future where LNG is taking a consistent space of our clients' need, a different one, rather than competing with others, and where AI is going to escort us through the journey. And like my colleagues, I'm very positive about that.
Thank you very much. A great summary. And thank you all for taking the time to talk to me today and shed some light on the process of systematic solutions at LNG. And thank you as well for watching. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast. And to stay up to date with the latest thinking from the team, do register at blog.lng.com, where we publish all our research and thought leadership. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and look forward to welcoming you next time on LNG Talks. Bye-bye for now.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of LNG's asset management division as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against LNG in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to LNG, we and us are meant to capture a global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.